Praise God, it's April the 6th, Wednesday night, and we're turning to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I wonder if Jesus would say this to Paul, he would say it to me, he would say it to you, he would say it to anyone. In fact, I truly believe that he says it to the church because it's recorded for us to understand. This is the words of our risen Lord. And not only is he our risen Lord, but he's your high priest. He's your intercessor. He's the author and the finisher of your faith. He's the one who began the good work in you. He's the one who's going to finish it. He is busy about his business, the Father's business. He's got a position. He's got a job in heaven. So if he said these things, said this, gave this instructions, and brought a revelation to the Apostle Paul, of all people, I'm sure it's good for me. If it's good for him, it's good for me. So I said all that to preface this. And he said unto me, Paul was doing some praying. Paul was doing some serious intercession for himself. He was doing some serious on his knee bend prayer. I'm sure he was crying a few tears here. Maybe in agony even. He was deeply distressed. You know, I've seen the Lord talk to me, but usually it's when I really need to hear from him. When he shows up, it's when I really got to have a word. He never fails to give me a word when I really need a word. So this is a time that God, the Holy Spirit, Jesus through the Holy Spirit, spoke to him. And this is what Paul wrote. Jesus said unto me, just remember, Jesus would say it to you if he said it to Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Now, have you ever had the Lord just come along and say something just off the wall like that? Surely, God, you're going to say something else. Surely you're going to say, yes, my child, I'm going to take care of that problem. Yes, I'm going to do this. Or yes, I'm going to do this, my child. Or yes, I'll change the situation for you. I'll come down and fix this problem. Yes, my child, I'll do this and I'll do that. You know, we're just waiting on God to say, yes, I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. Because you've been asking him to do something, right? Then all of a sudden he comes down and says something like this to you. What? What did you say? Have you ever had the Lord just say something like, what? What are you talking about? My grace is sufficient for you.
That's right.
In my strength is made perfect in your weakness.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean, God? What are you talking about?
Means quit trying to do your job, Lord.
There's such a revelation here. But if Jesus spoke it to Paul in the deepest, darkest moment of his, he's seeking God for some help.
Mm-hmm.
What did he say he was seeking God for? Well, think about it. Think about it for a minute here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever seen a map? Have you ever looked at the map of the journeys of the Apostle Paul? Have you ever looked at how much space he covered? How much land he traveled in a very short amount of time? Have you ever thought about all the times he was in prison? And you know, every single city he went to, he was attacked. There was always an insurrection raised up. Everywhere he went, there was somebody rose up against him. Well, you think that was just people? People too busy trying to make a living. You know, back in that time, and pretty much in a lot of third world countries, they're all about survival mode. They're all in survival mode. They're not in trying to cause problems. They're concerned, their biggest concern is where are they going to provide the next meal? Making sure their family's clothed. Making sure there's food on the table. Making sure they got firewood cut. They didn't have washing machines. They didn't have the things that we're used to today. So everywhere Paul went, the devil stirred up confusion, turmoil, envy, strife. Where there's envy and strife, there is confusion in every evil work. There was an evil work assault on him everywhere he went. Because he's preaching the good news of the Lord Jesus. He's preaching the good news of the gospel. And he's getting people saved. He turned the whole world upside down because he was commissioned to do that job. And he did his job. And he went to the Lord. How many times was he beaten? How many times was he shipwrecked? How many times was he hungry and naked? And this and that happened to him. He tells you what he was seeking the Lord about. Go back up into verse 7. Now, you know, I'm not surprised he had all these revelations, because for one thing, when you are called to do a huge job, when you're called of God to do something really big, do you think he's going to send you to do it without equipping you to do it? Do you think he's not going to raise you up and give you revelations? He had to have these revelations to do all the expansive work he did in that short amount of time. Turned everything upside down. Raised churches up all over the whole world at that time. So yeah, I'm not surprised that he was raised up into heaven. I'm not surprised of all the revelations he had to have them to be able to do what he was called to do. I mean, you just don't put a soldier on the front lines and say, and don't give him any training. But there was one problem. One problem, God. You give me all this revelation that I can preach the word, I can raise the dead, I can cast out demons, I can do all these awesome things and walk in the power of the world to come. Yet, what about this messenger from Satan that everywhere I go, he buffets me? I just wish you would deal with that devil. I wish you would do something about that devil, God, because every city I go into, every place I go, there's this trouble. I'm just getting tired of being beat every time. I'm tired of being stoned and left for dead. I'm tired of all being in prison. How come, God, you don't do something about this messenger? I'm doing what you called me to do. I've been given the revelations to do it. How come, God, you just allow this to happen? How come, God, the devil is always whooping up on me? How come, God, the devil's always beating me up? How come, God, you let this devil work through this person and let this devil work through that person? How come there's always the devil working? Doesn't that sound like us? Yeah. Crying, oh God, he's working on the devil's doing it again, God. Stop the devil, God. This messenger that's following me everywhere I go. It says where this messenger came from. It came from Satan. God didn't send the devil. The devil knows who you are, Darlene. The devil knows who you are. He knows you're preaching the word of God with the revelation you have by God. You can't preach the word without revelation from God. You're preaching the word because God told you to preach the word, and he gave you the word to preach because he knows you will preach it. I mean, you know, your work, we are on enemy turf. We just might as well face it. God is in heaven. I'm not in heaven yet. I'm on earth. Guess who else is on earth? The devil. This is his territory. He was here before I was. Talk about dealing with the devil. When I got saved, I dealt with some devils. I couldn't even leave my door. My door would not even, couldn't even lock my door at night. I'd go to bed, got saved, got born again in my kitchen. You'd think life would be just wonderful. No, it wasn't wonderful. I'd go to bed. My ex-husband would come in and yank me out in the floor, cuss me upside one side and down the other. I mean, he was not such a nice person, but that he got really bad. How come? Well, there's a messenger of devil in him. Threw me on the floor, turned every light in the house up, and cussed me and said, "You ain't sleeping tonight. You know who you are." Called me every name in the book. And turned all the music on full blast. Now, I was a rock and roller, but I don't want it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And all night long, I'd have to be up all night and listen to him cuss and rant and rave. He was on Tylenols. He was on speed. He was on LSD. He was tripping on all kinds of crazy stuff.
You should have used duct tape.
But the thing is, I'm not surprised these days when the devil acts bad, because guess what? He's a bad devil. He's just doing what comes natural to him. And you know, he's always looking for somebody to embody or use, because he doesn't have a body. It's hard for his embodied spirit to cause you a lot of trouble. I mean, I guess he could pick up chairs like a poltergeist. But you know, that doesn't even impress me anymore. It doesn't impress me. I couldn't shut my door at night. I'd lock my door. It would be wide open when I'd get up the next morning. Hear it wake up, I'd hear the devil open the door at night. I've seen stuff fly through the air right in front of me in broad daylight. I've had crazy things. But I'm telling you, this scripture right here is a revelation word. If you can hear Jesus say this to you, and you're in your deepest, darkest of worst situations, no matter what is going on, hear Jesus say this to you. Hear him say this to you. He said it to me. How many times has he said, "Look up for your redemption, draw off nigh"? I said, "Lord, I don't want to hear that." I want to hear my redemption drops nigh, please. Can I get another word from you? Can I just get something else, God, that you're going to take care of this situation? Can I hear, God, I'll take care of your son or your grand, I'll take care of him, Lord, or child, I'll take care of you. You just want to hear Jesus come down and say, I'll work it all out. Yeah, it'd be nice, but that's not what he said to Paul, is it?
It ain't about you, though.
This is what he said. No, it's the revelation we better get of what he has provided in the new birth. We have provision been already made. You see, when you realize that Jesus has done everything he's ever going to do about the devil, he's going to do everything he's going to do about sickness and disease. He's already done everything. What more can he do than die for you? He that delivered him up for us all, how about, what? Tell me, why would he not give you all things freely? He that delivered him up for us all, how shall he not by him also give you all things? There's nothing too big for God. But he's already provided it in the new birth. So how do we get it, God? This is, he's telling you right here. This is the answer. This is the answer. He said this to Paul. And now I want you to picture Paul. This mighty man of God. Raised the dead. Cast out devils. Raised up major churches all over the known world. I want you to see this mighty man of God on his knees begging and praying. Oh God, help me. Oh God. Like we do. And here's Jesus on his throne at the right hand of the Father. And Paul's been there, you know. Paul's seen the throne. Paul's been and saw all the revelations of heaven. He knows what heaven's all about. But he's still asking the Lord, deliver me from this messenger of the devil. I'm tired of him. Major revelation coming at you. My grace is sufficient for you. Now, what are you talking about? My grace is sufficient for you. What is grace? We think of grace as God's unmerited favor. What does that mean? God's unmerited favor. I know I ain't worth nothing without him. But what is grace? You see, grace, get a revelation. Grace is God's revelation ability. You've gotten hold of something. And you have a revelation of what he has promised you in the new covenant. And it's his ability working on that avenue of your faith, according to his word. His, and you're calling those things that are not as though they are. You're calling down things from heaven. He said, you can pull those things down. You can bind, you can loose. Mm-mm-mm. You see it? The grace is not God's unmerited favor. I mean, that might be an ingredient. But the greatest revelation of grace is God's ability to take through you to do whatever needs to be done. You see, it's not your ability, it's his ability in you. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? The same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us now. The greater one is in me. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We've been too afraid to walk in that revelation. You see, Paul was waiting on God to say, I'm going to come down and deal with the devil for you. You see, Jesus has already dealt with the devil for you. He's already dealt with the devil. He already took out of hell the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He's already been raised above all principality and power. And every name is going to, every name and everything that is even conceivable, he's above that. His throne is glorified. His glory, you know, it was set before him. He endured the cross before the glory that was set before him. You see, when Satan took him to the pinnacle and said, and showed him all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, these are mine. They've been delivered to me, and to whoever I want to give them, I will give them to. If you'll just bow down and worship me, they all can be yours. Well, Jesus was thinking, that's penny ante stuff. I'm going to have all the kingdoms of heaven, all the universes, all the planets, all the stars. Every angel is going to bow to the name of, to bow to my name. Guess whose name you possess? The name of Jesus. So when you know who you are in Christ and you can speak the name, you have a legal right. See, the Word of God you have a legal side to it and a vital side to the Word of God.
Yeah, we have an inheritance.
Believe me, more than we ever can imagine. Eye hath not seen, neither ear heard, neither hath entered the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But he has revealed them to us through his Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The churches just stopped right there and said, oh, yeah, when we finally get to heaven, we'll know what it's all about. Until then, I'll just get whooped up on and beat on by the devil. But instead of knowing what he has provided in the new birth, that's why he said, my grace is sufficient for you. You have to get a revelation of this for yourself. I mean, I have a revelation of this. Thank God I got it. I got it on my knees. I didn't get to go to seminary. I went to neology. I got a degree in neology. I looked at one of them knee pads. I think that looks pretty good right there, a knee pad. I could use one of them. I used to have calluses on my knees like people get on their feet. Seriously, I stayed on my knees. When you got a devil coming in your house, throwing you upside the wall, body slamming you on concrete, tearing everything you got up in the house, you better know how to pray. You better be praying. You better pray. You better pray. But see, I can relate to Paul because I used to beg God to do something about the devil. And the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. In your weakness is my strength made perfect. You see where we miss it is we think we got to battle the devil. We think we got to do something. See, religion is like that. Religion will tell you, you know, you have to be involved. You have to do something. I have to get involved in this. Surely, God, you don't mean I just believe the word and it'll happen. Surely I just can't say to that mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in my heart, but shall believe those things which I saith shall come to pass. It really will come to pass? I mean, I don't have to do nothing but just say it? Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive it, and you shall have it. You see, I tell you, a long time back, I got a revelation. You know, sometimes we just open the shade and just get a crack. And then you start thinking, well, there's a light out there. It's not dark out there anymore. There's some light. And you start opening up more and more. And all of a sudden, you're kind of squinting because you've never seen such light. But you want more of it. You want more of it. It's kind of, you know, bugs come to light, don't they? It draws you. The light keeps drawing me to it more and more. It's scary because you mean I got to do that? Yeah, I got to believe that? Yes, you do. Because Jesus told Paul. Paul got it. Paul got it. And you know what he said when he heard it? Listen to what he said. Therefore, see, I always heard Kenneth Hagin say, if you see the word therefore, find out why the word is therefore. Why is that therefore? And this is the therefore. He said, I will most therefore gladly rejoice. Look, he says, therefore I will take pleasure in my infirmities, reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. But see, this is what he was praying about. God, I'm so tired of the messenger from the devil every city I go to. He tries to kill me, shut me up, torment me, yank me by the hair of the head, string me up, tried to hang me. Therefore, I'm going to glory. I'm going to take pleasure in all these infirmities, all these reproaches, all these necessities, all these persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then, you know, everybody can say then. When are you strong? When are you really strong? When you feel strong? See, you don't walk by feelings. But we don't walk by feelings, we walk by faith. When am I strong? Because his strength, his awesome mighty power is strong in you when you're weak. When you recognize you can't fix this problem, when you recognize, Lord, it's just too big for me. I'm no match for the devil. All my talking, all my manipulating, all my working, all my striving, all my talking, all my anything is not going to fix the problem. You just come to the place where you just get the end of you. Okay, therefore, I'm going to just take pleasure in all this mess, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want the power of Christ to rest upon me. When I'm weak, I'm strong. I am become a fool in glorying. You have compelled me, for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle, though I am nothing. And he goes on and talks about all his accomplishments, different things. Paul, mighty man of God, which we cannot compare to. I'm not comparing myself to Paul, but I'm learning something about what Paul had to hear himself and had to walk in himself. You know, I'm not going to walk out of this life without some problems. That's just part of the package. The devil is a good devil. He's good at what he does. I heard a pastor was talking, a minister was sharing. He said, it's kind of like this. If you think of your walk with Jesus, like here's Jesus at the end of a road. I want you to picture this. Here's Jesus at the end of this road. Mm-hmm. And on either side of you, there's huge walls with windows. And this is you begin your walk in life toward Jesus. This is kind of like depicting your walk, right? Mm-hmm. No man can pluck you out of his hand.
That's true.
No man. Greater is he that's in you than he that's world. The devil cannot stop you from being a believer. He can't stop you from believing the word of God. He can't stop you from reading the Bible. He can't stop you from praying. He cannot physically grab you and tackle you and stop you. Do you know the only way he can stop you from keeping your eyes on Jesus? Through distractions. His number one tactical, the biggest thing he does to all of us is he deploys tactical maneuvers on our minds. They're hanging out all these windows and they throw their fiery darts. And I mean, you hear ungodly stuff in your mind sometimes, don't you? I know you talk about it sometimes. We all do. And you think, man, where'd that thought come? And then the enemy comes at first person and pretends like it's you talking. It's not even your thought. Not even your thought. So the whole time you're walking, then he'll say, oh, come over here and look over here at this. Come over and look over here at that. You know, this needs to be fixed over here. Well, you got to keep your eyes on Jesus, right? But then all of a sudden you start looking over here. And you start thinking about, oh, yeah, this is a mess over here. Oh, this ain't going to go away if you don't fix this. Or you don't do this or you don't do that, it ain't going to go away. But Jesus said, keep your eyes on him, didn't he? Didn't he say, cast every care upon him, for he cares for you? Didn't he say that? Yeah. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. People do not know how to cast. I learned how to cast the care on Jesus. You know what's so wonderful about that? There's so many scriptures that talk about, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Well, you know why that invitation's there? So you can come boldly to the throne of grace. And I'm talking, I tell you what, I learned how to be bold with God. If he said I can be bold, I can be bold. Now, do you know how you're bold with God? Let me tell you how you can be really bold with God. The more you know his word, the more revelation of his word is in your heart, more is written. He said, I'll put my, this is the covenant, he says in Hebrews 8 and 9. He said, I will put my word in their minds and I will write my word in their hearts and I will be to them a God and they shall be to me a people. Right? Does it say that? How are you a people? You talk his language. You talk like he talks. You act like he acts. If you're his people, you're going to imitate your father. You're going to be just like him in the earth. If Jesus was here, what would he do? He wouldn't get his eyes off Jesus. I love what Jesus said. Father, I thank thee. When he was raising Lazarus from the dead, I thank you, Father, you always hear me. I thank you, Father, that I know God always hears me. I don't care where I am. I don't care where you put me. God is always going to hear me. Do you know people wonder if God hears them? I know God hears me. I don't care. I don't have to be on my knees for God to hear me. I don't have to pray for an hour before I know he hears me. He hears me every second of every day. I used to go before the Lord and say, Lord, remember I shared this Sunday. I used to think I had to get all the things just right. Take the switch and hold it to the kids. My kids, if you come in here, I'll wear you all out. Don't you come to this door. I threatened them with their life if they came to that door, didn't I, Darlene? 25 years ago, this woman used to come to my house and we'd pray together. And I even used to drag the dress, the dresser across the front of the door. I was serious about getting a hold of God. Threatening with their life. Because my kids were like calves. You ever have kids that are calves? Mom. You got these bawling kids. Like kids sound like a bunch of calves hollering after a cow. And I just would just have to tell them, I'm going to be in here an hour. Many a time I'd say, I don't know what time I'm getting out of here, but do not bother me. Of course, we didn't have cell phones back in those days. But I still pray like that. I still turn off the cell phone. I still shut the doors. I still turn off everything. And I go in my bedroom. I get on my knees and I get my little pillow and I say, okay, here's my time with Jesus. I'm going to talk to you. Lord, now I come before you. And the Lord says, you ain't just now coming before me. You're always before me. You're always before me. See, I walk around before him. That's our religious thinking. And God wants us to recognize that His grace for every situation, His grace, His ability in me and through me is sufficient for any situation that comes my way, any tactical design of the enemy, any fiery dart he comes at me with. Amen. No matter what it is, His grace is sufficient. How is it sufficient? His word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder between the soul and the spirit, is a discerner of the intents and thoughts of your heart. You don't even know your own heart. Who can know it? The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? You can know it with the word. So when you know the word and you make the word your final authority, the word is my authority. It's my final, it's my a shield of, you could put on that whole armor. Do you think that Paul just got the idea about the whole armor? Do you know it talks about the armor back in the Old Testament? Putting on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is the most important part of your armor. The most important part. The breastplate of righteousness. Do you know why it is? Because it'll give you that cutting edge. You can't even pick up the sword if you think you're no worth nothing. You can't pick up the sword. It's going to be a heavy sword, the word is, if you try to wield the sword with the devil and you feel like an old dirty scoundrel. You don't know who you are in Christ. You don't know that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, that Jesus became sin for you, that who knew no sin, that you might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. This thing right here isn't trying to get made out of wood. It is made wood. I'm not trying to be made right. I am made righteous. And you know when I was? You know when I was made righteous? 2,000 years ago. You mean you didn't get born again and made righteous when you got saved? No. That's when I found out about what He provided. That's when I found out about what was all out there. And still finding out about what He's provided. See, His graces was sufficient for Paul 2,000 years ago because he was raised from the dead and seated at the right hand of the Father, far above all principality and power and might and every name and all dominion. And every name, and every knee will bow, he said. I love what Paul said in Philippians, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection. See, resurrection power is what we have to have a revelation of. I was reading, we were studying, the Lord began to give us revelation about when He went to Bethany and raised Lazarus from the dead. He told them, you take away the stone. He told them to take off the grave clothes. I woke up this morning, he needs to get off the grave clothes, get free. Then I'm at the computer. Holy Spirit said, turn on the TV. T.D. Jakes is on there talking about, he's demonstrating what it's like for Lazarus to come out of the tomb, preaching about Lazarus coming out of the tomb with the grave clothes on. God's got a call on your life. God's given you resurrected life. He's brought you from the dead, and He's saying, I want you to do a work, but you can't move around because you got the grave clothes on, and you're all bound up, and you can't move. You can't do nothing. The devil has put death on you. He's put lies on you. He's put fear on you. He's put worry on you. He's put unbelief on you, and you can't do nothing for God because of it. And you know what He said? You pastors, word of deliverance, get the grave clothes off your people. Do the work God has called them to do. And be a revelation people. He said, like you're in a body cast, yeah? So they took the grave clothes off of Lazarus so he could be, he's alive from the dead. 4 days, he stinketh. You got to get the death off of you. You got to let and not let the death can be put back on you. Whew. I'm preaching good tonight. It's a revelation word. See, this is so easy for me to preach because it's not me. It's not my word. It's His word. Amen. It ain't my word. I didn't write all this. I just took the time to read it. It's like kind of like the guy who wants to learn how to fly a plane. You hope he's read the book. You hope. And guess what? If you read the book and you do the instructions, you can get the thing off the ground. How's it work? I don't know how it works, but I'll guarantee you somebody knows how it works or they wouldn't work it. The word is something you can work. It's not a mystery. That's why I love what Paul said, that he might be able to bring the mystery. Can I show you a verse that God brought me to me the other night I was studying? It's in Ephesians, and I won't preach much longer. It's in Ephesians. Ephesians 1, verse 17. The reason you're supposed to pray this every day for yourself, and then pray it for me, please. If you've got an extra minute or two, pray for me. Pray this for me, because I'm praying it for me every day. I'm praying this sincerely, and I've been praying this way for 30 years. Don't you think God don't answer my prayers? that the God of your Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding. You know, you have spiritual eyeballs. Did you know that? That can see things in the spirit realm.
Yes.
And you can have a spiritual revelation understanding.
Yes.
Your natural man does not understand the things of God. But he said, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. That's me. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. I go on and on. But this is the way I pray it. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father, God, please give me the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. Let my eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let me know what is the hope of my calling in Christ Jesus. What is the exceeding greatness of your power toward us, toward me who believe. That's what I pray. I pray that nearly every day. So if you have time, pray that for me. Now let me tell you why you're to pray this. Go back to verse 10. Verse 10. Actually, I'm sorry. Let's go back to verse 9. Ephesians 1, 9. This is why you pray that. Because if you're just reading along, you're just reading along in Ephesians 1. How many times have I read Ephesians 1? 100 times or more. But all of a sudden, this just jumped out at me. Now I see why I was praying all these years for my eyes of understanding to be enlightened, because you got to have that, because there's a mystery here. Ephesians 1, 9 says, making known to us, actually let me read in the King James and I'll read it in the Amplified. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Well, isn't that me? Doesn't that talk about I'm in earth? I'm definitely made out of earth. A while back I was in my living room and I was rocking in front of my fireplace, my wood stove. And I was sitting there by the wood stove just smelling that good wood burning. It was a few winters ago. And I was praying the Lord's Prayer, Thy will, O Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. All of a sudden the Holy Spirit said, you mean your earth? My earth. Yeah, this body of yours is earth. Don't you know where you came from? Earth. You mean your will in heaven is to be done in my earth, on earth. Yes. If his will's not being done in your earth, you're missing the will of God as it is in heaven. But this is what he says. I want to read this in Amplified to really bring it out. Because this is where I really saw it. Making known to us, Amplified. Making known to us the mystery, secret, the secret. You know, a mystery is a secret. A mystery is something you have not seen yet. It's a mystery. Making known to you the mystery or the secret of his will, of his plan, of his purpose. And it is this. Here it is. Here's the secret purpose. Here's the secret plan. In accordance with his good will, his good pleasure, his merciful intention, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him. Here it is. For the maturity of the times and the climax of the ages. And I believe we're in it. I believe this was it. If it's not it now, we're entering into it. We're in the maturity of times and the climax of all the ages. To unify, this is the mystery right here. God's going to unify all things. You know what the word all means? It means all. He's bringing to a head climax of the ages right now. All things are coming to a head and head them up and consummate them in Christ. Christ just means the anointed one. Both things in heaven and things on the earth. Where do I fit in this picture? Where do you and I fit? We're a part of this mystery. We're a part of the maturity. We're a part of the end of the ages. Yeah. He's bringing everything as we mature, as we grow up, and we start recognizing who we are. And then when Jesus says to you, stop your crying. Stop your bawling and squalling. Stop your boo-hooing. Cast that care on me, for I care for you. Raise up and take the word, the sword of the Spirit. Know who I've made you. I've made you the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Be bold with me. Be bold with the word. Speak to your mountain. Believe those things that are not as though they are. Be who you've been called to be by your Father. He's my Father. Be imitators of God as dear children. Can I help what other people are doing? Can I help what other people are saying? Even if I wanted to yank them up by the hair of the head, it wouldn't help. I could smack them around a while. I mean, there's a lot of things you can do in the flesh, but is it going to help?
No.
No. Let me tell you, there's something powerful in knowing the Word, because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharp. That word quick means it's life. This word is life. Life to them that find it, and health to all their flesh. The Scripture doesn't say for anything, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I used to read that, and I said, Lord, I'm pretty offended here. I've been cussed out pretty hard and heavy. I'm pretty offended right now.
Because we still got
walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh.
That's
the
right.
Flesh wars
That's
against
right.
the Spirit. The Spirit against the flesh.
Amen.
You see, the more revelation I have had, the more revelation, the more is coming, more is coming, more is coming. Easier it is to cast the care. Cast the care. I was sharing with Pastor Paul today about how many times have I looked at that bank account. But it's like I don't see the bank account like I used to see a bank account. I don't see the bank account the same way I used to see a bank account. You know, I've learned how to speak to things. Years ago, God said, you start speaking to those bills. You command those bills to be paid, and they're paid. You command these things to be done. Believe me, it works. I stepped out by faith and started doing that a long time ago. I started calling that electric bill paid. And it's paid. Isn't it amazing? I started practicing. Okay, let's see what I can believe for. Let me see here. Let me try this. Okay, I think I want a brand new stereo, Lord. I want it to sit right here. Thank you in Jesus' name. Go over here and pray for this. I think I want a freezer full of venison, God. I thank you for a freezer full of venison in Jesus' name. Okay, I'll go over here. I want this. You know, he said, delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you really mean that, God? Yes, he really means that. His grace is sufficient for me in weaknesses, his strength made perfect. So therefore, I will gladly glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ can rest upon me. I want his power. I can't do anything. Can any of you, by taking thought, add one inch to your stature? Can you change one hair white or black?
Mm-mm.
Why do you take thought for tomorrow? Sufficient of the day is the evil thereof.
Right.
Take no thought what you're going to eat, nor what you're going to drink. Your Father knows you have need of all these things. See, I just really believe God is who he says he is. He really is who he says he is to us. And I just impart this word. I impart this revelation word. I impart this word. Kenyon said, everybody know who E.W. Kenyon is? You've never read an E.W. Kenyon, you're missing it. E.W. Kenyon, awesome man of God. With these words, he said, I do not try to get people to believe the word of God anymore. Hear this. He said, I don't try to get people to believe anymore. You just got to believe. You just got to believe. How many times have I said, you just got to believe? He said, I tell people to act on the word. Act on the word.
Yeah.
Because you see, if you're acting on the word, it means you're believing. Because you only act on what you believe. If you're not acting, you're not believing. Don't tell me you believe something and you're not acting it. Don't tell me you believe the word and you're not acting it. If you believe it, you're going to act it. When I had the Bell's palsy and my face was twisted like this and the doctor said, you're going to the doctor. I said, no, by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. My eyeballs all bugged out like this. They thought I was crazy. But I knew my life depended on it. There's some things your life will depend on for you to act like it's true. Because it is true. It's just the way it is.
A lot of people
die prematurely good people because they do not act on the word, because their acting is corresponding to their believing. Actually, I believe that your believing, your acting corresponds with your believing first. You act on the word. You act on the word. You act like it's true. It comes with maturity, though. I think this all comes with maturity. The more you know the word, the more you believe. Practice the word. Practice the word. Ever ride a bicycle? You ever try, remember the first time you ever got on a bicycle? How many times you fall down? But did you throw it aside and say, I'll never ride that thing? If you said that, you'll never ride it. But if you determine in your heart you can do this, you can do it. Romans 10. Roman road, remember the Roman road to salvation? It's the Roman road to anything you need to be saved from. It's the same road. If you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, thou shalt be saved. What do you need to be saved from? That's part of casting the care. The care is what you need to be saved from, right? The care is a care. I don't care how big a care it is or how little a care is a care. If you need a care cast off, you better get it in your, get the word in your mouth. For with the mouth man, but the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto the casting of the care, salvation. You can walk around carefree. Salvation is free, spirit, soul, and body. I would that you be, he said, I would that you be in health and prosper, even as your soul prospers. Do you know why most people are stressed and upset and mad all the time? Because their soul hasn't been renewed to the word. Mm-hmm. Receive the engrafted. Soul's a mess. You still got all the stinky thinking going on. The world's still hanging on. And I've learned, God, this mind has got to have some renewing done in it. Mm-hmm. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you can prove what is that good and perfect, acceptable will of God. Well, there's the good, the perfect, acceptable. Which one do I want? I want them all. I don't want to just peace of God. I want all of God. Right?
Amen.
What part of God do you not want? I want all of Him. I've never found a part of Him that wasn't a good God. Every part of God is good. Yes. He's a good God. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is their bare bones, the shadow of eternity. God is a good God. He said, prove Him with the tithe. Just prove Him with this and see if I won't open the windows of heaven. Prove me therewith. Yes. I prove Him with it all the time. I get excited about proving God with the word. Casting all your care upon Him. Do you know every time you give God a care, you're saying, I believe you. I just believe you, God. I just believe you. Cast every care. You see, in Philippians it says, what things are pure? What things are lovely? If there is any good report, think on these things. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God will keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. I tell my kids all the time, your highest thing is to seek peace and pursue it. Mm-hmm. Walk in rest. Walk in peace. Because the enemy's number one job is to get you in get you out of rest, get you in turmoil, get you looking at this, get you looking at that, get your eyes on Jesus, walk in rest, cast the care, cast the person, whatever you got to do, cast whatever I have to do to get free of fear. I get rid of fear. I refuse fear. I treat fear like my worst enemy. In fact, I get angry at fear. I will not let fear in my door. Oh no, you're not coming in here, fear. Y'all know what I'm talking about, fear? Because if you feel fear and you draw back, you draw back, lest any man draw back, and my soul shall have no pleasure in him. See, God doesn't take pleasure when you're drawing back. If you're in fear, you're drawing back. It's time to get on that whole armor and pick up the sword of the Spirit and put the devil in his place. I used to take an invisible sword and do warfare for hours. I'd take that sword and I'd put it under the devil's throat. And I'd say, your word said, and you have to obey it. Yep. Two or three are gathered together. He said, I'd be in the midst, and anything any two shall touch in agreement, it shall be done. That's what the word says.
That's true.
Not my word. Shall be done. If you can't get your prayer answered one way you pray, change the way you're praying and get, because there's results in the word. Nothing but victory in Jesus. Thanks be unto God who always causeth the triumph. See, I believe the biggest thing is our walk with God is the enemy in these windows. All these demons hanging all these windows telling us all these lies as we're walking along. And we've got to resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil, he'll flee. I've talked a lot about the devil tonight. See, I don't think about the devil very much anymore. But I think about the Holy Spirit, the powerful, awesome God inside me. word in my mouth is the most important thing I can do for myself. And praying the word over my children. Yes. See, I do not ask God to do a lot of things. I do not ask him to come down and do very little. I'm going to close with this. I want you to hear this. I do not get on my knees like Paul did and start begging and asking God to do something about the devil. I don't, because he's already done something about the devil. Jesus has wore our sickness. He's carried our diseases. By his stripes you were healed, past tense. He's already dealt with the devil, because that's the righteousness which is the faith. Don't spend a lot of time asking God to deal with the devil. You know what I do? I ask him to give me a revelation of how to deal with the situation. Give me a word, God. I need a word. A word. I need a revelation word of what I'm speak, what I'm to say. I want to see how the enemy's gotten in here. I want to see what door opened up to him. I want to see how what avenue he was able to get to me through. I want to know how I can bind him up. I want to know how to speak to that situation. I'm always asking the Holy Spirit for insight into how the enemy maneuvered there. And I want to know his tactics, and I want to know what it's like playing chess. If you're a good chess player, you always anticipate the next move, right? And your move's got to be the better move. And so I say, God, I want to know what's the word? Because I'm in earth, right? He's in heaven. I'm still here in battle territory. So what am I supposed to speak here? Because see, I know I have the authority. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You shall tread upon scorpions and serpents, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Psalms 91, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. And that's old covenant. This is new covenant. We've even got a better promise. And the other thing is that Jesus said these words before he left. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go you therefore. See, there's the therefore again. Well, why is that therefore? Because he's went to heaven. He's in heaven. I'm on earth. So I say, Lord, what word, what revelation word in my mouth, what sword is going to deal with this problem? And God will always bring it to you, won't he, darling? Always brings you a revelation word to pray, how to pray. Shows you how to pray about something. Shows you how to deal with the enemy. You're not here defenseless. He said, I will manifest myself to you. I will show you things to come. I'm not going to leave you without help. You're the helper. The helper's in me. The Holy Spirit, we just have to learn to hear from him. Because we're too busy focused on the problem to hear what the result, what the answer is. And I never pray the problem, I pray my answer. I always pray the word, always pray the answer. But I also know God's going to give me a way to speak to that mountain and know how to speak, how to bind, how to deal with the devil. Jesus said, you got to first bind the strong man, then you can spoil his house. And then, let me tell you, this is the icing on the cake right here. Let me tell you. I shared this Sunday, and it's so important to understand this. Your prayer life is your fort life. When they came to Kentucky, this was a hostile place. Well, I'm telling you, wake up, this is a hostile place. There's devils everywhere. There's demons everywhere. It's not a surprise. But when the settlers came to Kentucky, especially this land right here we're standing, because there was the Cherokee, there was the Shawnee, there was the Pawnee, all these Indian tribes, this was their hunting grounds. The settlers were cutting away the trees. They were invading their hunting grounds. And the first thing they had to do was to build a fort. Your prayer life is your fort life. You're building your fort. Revelation word. You couple the word with your prayer life. That's your fort. The enemy is going to throw his arrows at you and me. But my prayer life is my fort. I'm not putting it up with sticks either. I'm putting up some big boards. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceeds the issues of life. Your life depends on it. Your soundness of mind, your heart, everything, your health depends on it. Because the enemy's number one thing is to kill, steal, and destroy. And Jesus said, I've come to give you life. But the life is in his word. This is where the life is, in your mouth. The life is in your mouth. So now when I pray over my children, you know what I do? The greatest thing I've ever prayed over my children is Psalms 112. All kinds of promises. Isaiah, all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. Father, I declare that you said in your word, my covenant right, is to expect my children's peace to be great on the earth. My children are mighty in the earth. He says, your seed shall be mighty upon the earth. Well, Lord, I thank you, Father God. I proclaim and I speak over my children. A good mother is not going to let their children go out in the cold, right?
That's right.
You're going to make sure they get good warm clothes on. I clothed my children with the word from the time they were babies. I said, you're mighty. You're a mighty man of God.
Yeah.
Great shall be the peace of my children. Your peace shall be great.
Yeah.
All my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be. Your peace is great. I call your peace great. It can't be anything but great because your mother is speaking forth the word of God, and I'm covering them with the word, and they are being. I'm putting a fort around my children with my mouth.
Yeah.
See, my children are blessed. They are the head and not the tail. They are above and not beneath. And everything they put their hand to, it prospers. You ask them if everywhere they go, they don't get money. They're blessed coming in. They're blessed going out. I'm telling you, God's word is just the truth. You see, Jesus didn't take away the old covenant. The Abrahamic covenant is still very much intact. He added to it and made it a better covenant. He just took away the curse. Y'all got another hour? I believe I could feel another hour coming on. It's so good. It's so good. But Father, I'm gonna close because it's time to stop speaking our problem over our children and start speaking the word and seeing it come to pass. See, I see things come to pass before they come to pass because it's his word. The devil can't do nothing with the word. Can't do nothing with the word. But Father, I just seal this word tonight and I thank you for it, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.